Well, it's back to school time, I think, for most kids now, and people are back to college, people going back. I like this time of year personally. Great memories for myself because I really enjoyed school myself and to see the kids going back. And it's a time we do think about kids and what's going on in their lives and the world in which they live. And then you start thinking too about parents and what parents want for their kids or just kids in general. And I think if you ask, you know, the average parent, you know, what do you want to see for your kids? You know, I think the typical answer is, well, obviously I see my kid grow up to be successful, have a good education, get a good job, you know, be productive. And there's always a concern about the world, too, that kids grow up in these days. Things they see, things that they're exposed to. And kids learn to see and interpret the world through the eyes of the people around them, especially their parents, but also their grandparents, their teachers, their peers. And that being said, the reality is I think we too play a role in helping kids through life in this world. We want to be effective. We want to be used by God in a sense to be good examples and role models for kids. In school, teachers follow lesson plans. Lesson plans help teachers focus on what they want to teach on a particular subject, also help them work, you know, toward desired outcomes. Outcomes for the lesson, you know, what they want their students to come away with. You know, it's one thing just to teach a lesson. It's another thing to be someone who's also living it out. Kind of embody the lesson that you teach. And you think about how much we've learned by watching other people in their lives, the way they live and what they communicate. Which kind of leads into the passage for today. The passage I'm going to focus on is kind of a continuation of, you know, where we left off in the book of Hebrews, chapter 12. I'm going to continue on, because it also is a part of the reading, beginning at verse 25, Hebrews 12. And the writer says, "See to it that you do not refuse him who speaks. If they did not escape when they refused him who warned them on earth, how much less will we if we turn away from him who warns us from heaven? At that time his voice shook the earth, but now he has promised once more, 'I will shake not only the earth, but also the heavens.'" The word "once more" indicate the removing of what can be shaken, that is, created things, so that what cannot be shaken may remain. Therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken, let us be thankful and so worship God acceptably with reverence and awe, for our God is a consuming fire. When I read the whole passage in Hebrews, in a sense, I kind of see it as maybe God's lesson plan, what he desires. You see, in God's mind, there's something he wants us to both know and live. He desires that we, as his followers, help teach this lesson. Our world's a classroom. Around us are visual aids that we can point to kind of see things, observe things, know things. So maybe we could call this lesson plan, the lesson title, "God Offers Sturdy." You know, you live like this is all there is, and what you're doing is you're just looking at things that are passing. Or live like there's something more beyond, you're focused on something that's permanent. So you can point at things along the way. And the one thing is true is our world is being shaken. And the writer of Hebrews is also saying that perilous times happen and also are coming. God allows it. God allows this. It's his way of showing us what's passing and what's permanent. There are things we build our lives on for security. and they're being tested. Sometimes we put too much focus on certain things. It could be power, it could be money, it could be big government. But God is, in a sense, shaking the things that can be shaken. Ultimately, things are going to come to an end as we know it. So there's two words I want to define for you. Two words, mutable and transient. Mutable is tending to frequent change. Transient, passing away with time, not permanent, passing quickly. I kind of reminded of those couple words, you know, every time I either walk into or walk or drive by a retirement home, because I know that I could be in one of those places right now. Or every time I get my potential senior discount, I'm reminded that things are passing. Contrast that with two other words, immutability and enduring. The word immutability, unchanging. It's a characteristic of God. God's unchanging. And enduring, obviously something that endures. It lasts. It doesn't wear out, lose its value. I think understanding the difference of these two ideas is really important, and understanding that and how these concepts play out in life. We see it too in the normal way of doing life. Sometimes we see lists or comparisons of things. You know, there's the most safe or the least safe, most reliable or least reliable, the most secure, the least secure, most stable, the least stable. We see those things play out in products that we use, things that we have, always reminding ourselves of what changes and what doesn't, what lasts, what doesn't. As one person said, you know, sometimes a shakeup causes us to discover which really is nailed down. Things change, pass away that are not secure. Scripture lists a number of these things, and you can see all these things in Scripture regarding power. I have seen wicked and ruthless man flourishing like green tree and native soil, but soon passed away and was no more. Though I looked for him, he could not be found. Life. The length of our days is 70 years or 80, if we have the strength. Yet their span is trouble and sorrow, for they quickly pass and we fly away. Material things. They will perish, but you remain. They will wear out like a garment, like clothing you will change them, and they will be discarded. Pleasure. And I will say to myself, you have plenty of good things laid up for many years. Take life easy, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said to him, you fool. This very night your life will be demanded from you. Then who will get what you have prepared for yourself? Riches. Cast but a glance at riches, then they're gone, for they are sure to spring wings and fly off to the sky like an eagle. The world, those who use the things of this world as if not engrossed in them, for the world in its present form is passing away. What is seen, and what is seen is temporary. The world and its desires pass away. So why recognize things? These things? Why remind ourselves of these things? Why point it out? Because I think we all can kind of start believing the idea that everything worth having can be found in this world. And we get latched on to things. And where we live, what we have, all these things can kind of create a false sense of security. And it kind of leads to the thinking, well, if I just get this, then this will happen. I think of the whole concept as it evolved in our country as of suburbia, the embodiment of a dream, a promise appealing to all the new residents that were moving in. Came about after World War II. It was what accommodated all the returning soldiers and sailors after the war. In a sense, it was seen as kind of the modern-day promised land, the idealized, which idealized the concept of just American idealism. to be able to have your own house and all those things. Every generation has attempted to develop its own version of the ideal community. In the mid-1960s, Walt Disney had a vision for a futuristic city comprised of like 20,000 people that would live beneath a giant dome and would travel between skyscrapers and via high-speed monorail. No slums, no unemployment. He dubbed it the Experimental Prototype Community of Tomorrow, or Epcot. I think we have a picture of him actually laying that out. Well, Disney died in 1966, and his dreams of Epcot, the utopian society, kind of died with him. It was an interesting concept that he had, the way people could live. But things change. What was once the American dream, everyone have their own home. I mean, there are so many people today that only wish they could own their own home someday. And we'll throw another Debbie Downer in it while we're at it. I know it's not breaking news, but it has been a long time, since our friend San Andreas has shaken some. I don't want to jinx it or anything. But the bottom line is, you ask yourself, is there really truly anything in this world that's 100% secure? But what things endure and are secure? Again, Scripture lays out the things that really do last. Spiritual food. Do not work for food that spoils, but food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. Spiritual works. If what he has built survives, he'll receive his reward. Unseen things. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. What is unseen is eternal. The word of the Lord stands forever. Love. Now these three remain, faith, hope, and love, but the greatest of these is love. And the church, on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overcome it. God's allowing things to be shaken, shaking the things that can be shaken in order that the things that cannot be shaken may remain. God will sometimes shake our world. It's kind of a way of finding out what really is, you know, nailed down and what's not nailed down. There are some things that endure, that last. But there's a day coming when literally everything will be shaken. The only thing that cannot be shaken, things that do not belong to this world, but things that belong to the world to come. As for individuals, I think it's, again, going back to where we started, in how we live our lives or the way we perceive things or the way we kind of communicate, the way in which we do things, the way we talk about our possessions, is the way I think the right perspective is to say, everything I have, all the good things are gifts from God that God has allowed me to have, to use for his glory, to serve and share with other people. Everything's from him. And it's living for things that kind of endure beyond. It's having that kind of ideal and that idea the way we do life. Because it says there in that passage that everything shaken loose will be tested by fire. Verse 28 tells us that believers have received an unshakable kingdom. And that's an incredible comfort because we know that what we have in Christ, what God has given us, cannot be taken. So don't forfeit it for the things that only have passing value. And we're encouraged to show thanks to God and worship him and serve him. And that's his appeal to us, to always know where the good comes from. And then we're reminded in verse 29 that God is a consuming fire. Supernatural kind of fire that does not destroy what is holy. But the things that are not holy, the things that are really kind of not of this world, will be taken. It's not natural. We need to understand the treasures we have. And I think sometimes a treasure is unappreciated in this world for what it really truly is. And it causes all of the treasures of this world to be insignificant by comparison. That's why Jesus, in that one short parable, referred to it as the pearl of great price. Because when that person found it, everything else that he possessed could not, you know, stand up to the value of what that one thing was. And that was the salvation he knew that he had in Christ. So, Christian, the treasure God has placed in your hands is infinitely more precious and long-lasting. And he says, hold on tightly, because it's the one thing that he offers, and it's sturdy. It's sturdy. Don't trade it away, and hold on to the unshakable things that he gives us. Ask God to give you the right perspective on things. And it loops back to where we started with the teacher thing and the teacher part. You know, as our preschool year is coming to an end this week, and then we're starting up our new school season and other schools around us starting up again. You know, I know for here, definitely, it's always been our mission and desire that those kids that come here would come to know that, you know what, I'm a child of God. I'm loved by God. I'm loved by Christ. I've been died for. I've been given the gift of forgiveness. I've been given the promise of eternal life. I've been given a new way of just seeing life and doing life. And it's also how we live and how we reflect those things around us. Like I said, even though we may not have, you know, younger kids in our home at this time, or maybe we're not school teachers or the like, but we all communicate things to the people around us in the way we just do life. The things that are important to us, the way we look at the possessions that we have, the things that have been given to us, and we all, in a sense, communicate something through that. And we can communicate in very profound ways where our real treasure is and where the things of most value are to be found. Because God offers the sturdy. And what a comfort it is to know that the things come and go around us, but the things that matter most, you know, are there for eternity. God's gift of love and his forgiveness, salvation, what it means to be a part of the family of God. Those things endure, and they are forever with us. And it's a very good thing to hold on to and to just kind of live life that way. And God blesses that in a very special way. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for who you are, the work that you do, things you remind us of. And God, there are things that just, you know, are just amazing blessings, the gifts that you've given us, the families that we have, the friends that we have, the faith that we have. And thank you for that. Continue to watch over Christine and Landon and Craig and Vicky and Mike and other people who recently have had surgeries or recovering. Just renew them. And for people, too, in our lives that we know that maybe it's just through the influence of our life or the perspective that they can know a little more about you and your love and your grace and your forgiveness that's lived out through us. So go help us to go into the world today with your love and joy. We thank you that we can gather tonight at this time of worship just in a very relaxed atmosphere, just to reflect through music and just spend some more time with friends of the faith. Thank you for the gift of music that we can share in. So we just give you ourselves. We thank you for all good things you share, the unshakable things. In Jesus' name, amen. We'll now take our offering.